What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets presented by So Rare. Right here live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Appreciate you guys taking the time to hang out with me as well. A lot to get to here on this show. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic weekend and we are ready to rock. A big week here in the sports world, and it all starts tonight with the national championship game, the college basketball, San Diego State University. And then we have the UConn Huskies. Oh, man, FAU. We had to pour one out for the Owls over the weekend. It was such a close game, such a tight game. I thought they were going to pull it out, man. And they just found a way to give it up. Unfortunate, for sure. We're going to revisit this in just a second. I actually have a pick and a prop for this game as well. As I mentioned, it's a big week in the sports world. It is Masters Week. That's right. Masters Week here at FTN. I am extremely looking forward to it. I got our guy Blickle already down there as well. Azalea. Don't ask our guy Marshall to pronounce that. But that's the promo code. 20% off with promo code here. Amen Corner. Should be fantastic. I love it. George put all of his favorites on the board. No jinxing any of these guys, George. There's no chance. Masters Week. Lots of good stuff over at FTNbets.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. We are going to have you covered. Articles, hot takes, picks, everything over at FTN. Of course, we're still running the free trials on both of our websites, FTNbets.com/free, FTNDaily.com/free. With the betting package, you get all picks across all sports, and they're all happening right now. Projections and tools, Discord channel broken into all the sports that you love, Augusta National included with the package. And of course, over at FTNDaily.com, we have an optimizer in the PGA, the NASCAR, the NBA, and we have articles, MLB articles, MLB optimizer. It's all there for you over at FTNDaily.com/free, FTNBets.com/free. Three games on the ice tonight in the NHL, so I have a couple picks and a couple props. Going to take a look at the MLB slate as well. A busy, busy Monday slate, and just already recorded live on our FTN Network YouTube page, myself and MLB Dream. We ran through a couple of our favorite picks. We're going to do that three times a week. That's the goal, at least three times a week. And it's going to be quick hitters. If you watched last year on Game Plus Network, we rolled through like a half an hour episode. It's going to be a little bit quicker than that, just a pick or two each, and then kind of push to all the good stuff over at FTNBets.com. But you can go check that out. Dream's super sharp. Units were one in Major League Baseball across the board. Pretty pleased with the entire team and how they did in the first weekend of Major League Baseball. George said he was making bank, you know, winning left, right, and center. I was like, holy crap, what's going on? George is winning. He's not jinxing anybody. So you know it was a really good weekend, taking shots at Mr. George Z, our guy, who comes in. We should put him on the camera one of these segments, because dude got a tan golfing this weekend in like nowhere down south either. I'm super jealous because it's still snowy here north of the border. We're going to take a look at week two fantasy baseball waiver wire. Talk about So Rare a lot on this show. Of course, Mean Streets presented by So Rare. SoRare.com. Check it out. Link inside the description of this video. And super cool. I got my feet wet with it over the weekend. I have a lineup that I'm going to play this weekend. We also have a video from our guy, Quisenberg DFS, and Zach Graham. He is has a lineup as well. He's going to break through his strategy and his pieces and players that he's looking at. And I'm going to talk through my strategy as well here in just a little bit, and some players that I am going to attack. So look for that. It is super fun. You collect cards and you can trade cards with people. You can go into different contests and tournaments as well. And there's all kinds of prizes that you can win. It's super fun. It's different. And I love collecting cards. So it kind of reminds me of that. You know, I'm still a card collector, and I love opening up packs and breaking packs and seeing like rookie cards and things like that. So it's pretty cool. Every player has a different value. And then you have to, you know, construct a lineup for the week under that value. So we'll talk about it in just a little bit. And then if there's time, I want to revisit the NFL mock draft 2.0. We're in the month of April. The draft is just around the corner. It's exciting times. Jake Seeley's back this week from his honeymoon. So look for a lot of draft coverage and rookie talk on All In Football, and of course on this show as well. So again, there really is a lot to talk about. We're going to hit up on all the sports here today, and that excites me. We're going to take a look at the fantasy baseball waiver wire as well. A couple players that you can pick up. I'm scanning waiver wires and just seeing a few guys that are under owned. So we'll talk about them in just a little bit. As I mentioned, a lot to get to. Daily Handle in the house. Good afternoon means national championship tonight. Yes. Everybody is talking about women's college basketball here today. I think it was a good weekend for women's college basketball. I don't want to take any shots, but listen, there weren't a lot of people talking about women's college basketball this time last year. LSU with the big W over the weekend. And all anybody wants to talk about is Reese versus Caitlin Clark. And with the hand thing and, you know, being classless and, you know, a lot of people on Twitter have taken some shots at Reese, and I think that's super unfair to take those shots at her, at somebody who is young in college basketball. I don't even want to say the things that I've seen on Twitter. Listen, what I have to say about that is, sports are competitive. It really is. And I've played a lot of competitive sports. I've been on both sides. You know, I get excited when certain things have happened. You know, you show up and, you know, maybe a little bit of showboat. And I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. But also at the same time, there is a way about going about it. You know, you hear the term poor sport, poor loser, and a poor winner as well. I don't really think that there was too much wrong with what Reese did. You know, Clark had also, Caitlin had done a little bit of that herself with the hand gesture. And it's like, you know, it tastes of your own medicine. The one thing I didn't love from Reese is that she followed Clark around for about 15, 20 seconds doing it and then pointing at the ring. Like, I felt like that was a little tasteless. You know, you do want to have some respect for your opponent, but also Caitlin Clark has, you know, has done this a little bit throughout the tournament. You know, she like kind of waved off, like, I'm not guarding her, like a little bit of disrespect. And players see that and they want to ante up and they want to like, oh, well, if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it. And, you know, Reese talked about it in her post game and how she, you know, she was waiting for that moment and she got that moment. I thought Caitlin Clark took it like a boss. She really didn't even acknowledge Reese. She had a phenomenal tournament. She was fantastic from start to finish throughout that tournament as well. And I'm sure she was a little bummed with the situation, but to take shots at Reese about like her, about how, who she is as a person. And, you know, I think it's really unnecessary. Again, if you're on the wrong side of it, it can like blow it. For me, when I see people like playing hockey, if anybody is skated by the bench, like up 5 or 6 goals, skate by the bench, you know, right in our face and things like that, it can get you fired up. Like there is an element to that. It's like, oh man, that didn't feel good. You know, have some respect for your opponents and things like that. But I didn't think that there's really a whole lot wrong. It was kind of different from what Clark had did, you know, previously in a couple different matchups, but, you know, Reese following her around a little bit, I could see where there's maybe some people are a little uneasy about how that went, but I don't know. I thought it was kind of badass. Personally, I thought it, you know, she was fantastic as well throughout the entire tournament. So congrats to LSU. Tonight, we have UConn and San Diego State University, and we have the Huskies favorite here by 7.5. Listen, I'm not going to say that I'm a college basketball expert. Go check out Mike Randall over at FTN Network, and he just went live with his show, so you can see all of his plays. But I've been saying I've been most impressed with UConn here. Quan, if we can bring up the board, and we can talk a little bit about the odds here. So the total at 132.5, and then just massive favorites here for UConn. I don't think, you know, you're going to get involved with the -345, and you see some people, you know, San Diego State University wanted to pick them to kind of be different and taking some dogs here, but +320 is interesting. But I feel like UConn's going to win this game. And I don't think that San Diego State University is going to be able to keep up offensively. That's it. Their defense has been good. They've had some impressive wins for sure, but UConn has really just kind of rolled through this entire tournament, and I expect them to not win this game handily, but I do like them to cover. My favorite play in this game is Jordan Hawkins. I like the over 14.5 points at -120, 13, 20, and 24 scored over his last couple games. And I really like his 3-point prop at 2.5. Over 2.5 is -105. Use our prop shop to get the best possible odds. And he's been jacking up some shots. I mean, overall, 31 shot attempts in his last three games. But check out the shot attempts from beyond the arc over his last three. 3 for 7, 6 for 10, 3 for 9. So this guy is averaging just over 7 shot attempts from beyond the arc over his last three games. And I think he's going to be right on par with that as well. No, he's not 100%, but I still like him to score 15 points, and I like the over 2.5 threes as well. So that's it for the college basketball talk, but go ahead and make sure you do, because Randall's been hot fire. The entire team has been really, really strong throughout this entire tournament, so, and I'm sure they're going to finish strong as well. Articles over at ftmbets.com, and of course, the picks in our pick tracker. A quick break and some MLB talk here. We're going to scan the waiver wire. We're going to take a look at some of the best performances from hitters and pitchers over the weekend, in particular from yesterday. And we will have some MLB picks, props, NHL picks and props, all kinds of stuff here for you on Mean Streets. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. Let's take a look at some of the three stars hitters and pitchers. This is from yesterday, and then I'm going to transition into just like some potential waiver wire pickups, some guys that I've noticed were undrafted here just a little bit. So Jeffrey Springs, you've been following along on this show. We're huge Spring fans here. I don't know really what there is else to say, but he was a hot waiver wire, or not waiver wire. I guess he was last year. It was a hot waiver wire pickup towards the end of the season. We talked a lot about him, you know, joked with Dream on MLB picks and props here this morning about him always in on his strike. I mean, we both were, but I remember him coming on the show and talking about his over 3.5. We're not going to get any 3.5. So I was surprised to get 5.5 yesterday. I jumped in the Discord channel and said I would have taken anything over 7.5. And look, he punched out 12. This is a guy that we had a little bit of a sprinkle on when we did some predictions at 200-1 over at FanDuel to win the AL Cy Young. Now, I don't think he's going to win the AL Cy Young, but the reason behind the pick was, listen, he shouldn't be 200-1. He's got some nice stuff. We saw some changes, you know, grip changes last year towards the end of last season, which resulted in like an uptick in some velocity on some of his pitches and the movement on some of his pitches, and resulted in more strikeouts. And we saw that carry over. So 200-1, fun little long shot using the prop shop today. That was from FanDuel. Jeffrey Springs is 30-1 over at FanDuel. So a matter of 5 days, this guy has moved from 200-1 to 30-1. DraftKings is hanging 71 points bet, 50-1 bet MGM, 50-1, and Bet Rivers at 45-1. 18 of his first 19 first pitches were strikes. I understand he played the Tigers and they're not good at the game of baseball, but this guy is a really, really good pitcher. Do not sell high. And if you got him in drafts, I mean, awesome. He was going around pitcher 40, and I believe we had him ranked as a top 25 pitcher here when we were talking about some of our targets. So Springs, nice first outing. And Senga, Coda had a really nice first outing as well. Struggled in the first inning, maybe some nerves, right? The command was a little bit all over the place, but he kind of settled down. And he's got some nasty, nasty stuff. Forkball in his arsenal as well. 5 1/3, allowed 3 hits, 3 walks, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts, picked up the W. It was a good matchup for him, but I was really impressed with that first outing from him. And I believe his strikeout prop was like 5.5, 4.5 or something silly like that. I was not in on it, but our guy Josh Gross was. And he's usually in on everything that is successful. So shout out to Gross and MLB Dream. As I said off the top, I think I said on MLB picks and props, I was really impressed with the first weekend from the entire team. And not surprising, everybody's super sharp at FTN. I'm just trying to do my part to hang in the same circle as these guys. But it was a very successful weekend, I think, for a lot of us and a lot of our subs. I was very pleased with that. And I wanted to give a shout out to Clevenger. So what I'm going to try to do with these three stars, like if a guy has a massive, like I'm not going to ignore studs that have massive days, you know, Springs is owned everywhere, Senga is owned everywhere. I'm not going to ignore those big time performances, but I also want to sprinkle in somebody who had a great day that could be available on your waiver wire. And Mike Clevenger, his ownership yesterday in Yahoo Leagues was 2%. As of this morning, it's 18%, 5 innings for him, and against an Astros team that, listen, this Astros team, what we've known from them over the past couple of years is they don't strike out a lot. They make a lot of contact. They're patient at the plate. They are missing a couple guys in their lineup. But over the weekend, they really did strike out a lot. It's a little too early to be diving into, you know, overall team statistics. Of course, we're going to keep an eye on this. But for me personally, I won't really until like 3 weeks in. But the Astros are near the top in strikeout rates. I'm going to keep an eye on everything, but we'll get a good sample 3-4 weeks into the season of, you know, teams that are hitting lefties and righties well or not well, and, you know, teams that struggle against southpaws or right-handed pitchers. But I noticed the Astros struck out a ton over the weekend, and at least in that series against the White Sox. Listen, Clevinger also is not too far removed from being a top dog in fantasy baseball. You can go back to 2018 with Cleveland. He had 207 strikeouts in 200 innings. He had 169 strikeouts in 126 innings in 2019 with Cleveland as well. It's just he hasn't played a whole lot lately. There's been a lot of injuries with him, some Tommy John. He was limited to, I think, like 40, 43 innings from in 2020. And last year we saw him 114 innings, his ERA was over four, but you could still see the strikeouts. They weren't quite there as, you know, previous years, but you could still see the upside with him. 91 strikeouts in 114 innings. So keep an eye on him. The first start was really, really well against a tough opponent. Swinging strike percentage was there. And his next matchup is fantastic in Pittsburgh against the Pirates at PNC. So a really nice spot for him in start number two. Let's transition over to some hitters here. Joey Gallo, give him a little bit of love. You know, Gallo's always had pop, always had power. Not going to come at you with a good average, but with some of the rule changes, it could benefit a guy like Gallo with no shift, right? So the first 2 days wasn't great for him. He was 0 for 6, but yesterday really strong, as you see, 3 for 4, 2 bombs, 4 ribbies, and he scored 3 times as well. As the Twinkies were perfect over the weekend. The first 2 games they won 2-0, and they beat the Royals to complete the sweep at 7-4 against Kansas City there. So Joey Gallo, you know, he's hitting in that 7 spot. Really like to see him move up, and if he can, you know, make some contact, maybe he will move up the lineup. The other guy here is Yoan Moncada. Once upon a time, a really high touted prospect, right? A really nice prospect. Last couple of years have been very disappointing for Moncada. Hot start over the weekend. There's no question. Not just yesterday's performance, 3 for 4, a homer, two ribbies, 2 runs scored, 8 total bases. He had a hit in every single game. He started 1 for 5, not great, but the next game against Houston, 3 for 4, had an RBI, and then 1 for 5 with a home run, and then yesterday with a home run as well. So hitting .444, 2 homers and 5 ribbies. He's got third base eligibility. Yesterday, I noticed his ownership in Yahoo leagues was around 17%. It's up here to 44%. So some of these guys, most of them are owned in high stakes leagues, of course. And Corbin Carroll we'll get to in a second, definitely owned across the board. Moncada is a guy that, you know, maybe in a, you know, 12 team league, he's kind of hanging around waiver wires, and, you know, in a 15 team league, maybe not. Again, the past couple of years from him have been pretty disappointing. I don't view him as a 300 hitter, even though he does have, you know, a 315 season on his MLB resume. And I don't view him as a huge power hitter either. I mean, that 2019 season where he hit 315, he had a 548 slug, a 915 OPS. He cashed in with 25 homers, 3 triples, swiped some bags as well, 10 stolen bases. This is a guy that I feel like could hit 20 bombs, could steal 12 to 15, 17 stolen bases. Stolen bases are up. We saw it in spring training. We saw it over the weekend. The rule changes, the bigger bags, and you can only toss over. Like, I saw one game where a pitcher tossed to first twice. You can only do it twice, and he did it pretty early. And once you do that, it's like GG, right? The guy's going to be able to take a larger lead at first or second, and you're basically stealing. And speaking of stolen bases, how about Corbin Carroll? Corbin Carroll, 3 stolen bases yesterday, and we had that in our bet tracker. The stolen base props in the past were really nice and juicy. Carroll was hanging around 3-1 against Noah Syndergaard, who gave up more stolen bases than any pitcher in the bigs last season, and that's what we saw yesterday from Carroll. He got on base, stole second, stole third on Syndergaard without even really any throw. There was definitely no throw to third base at all. The guy is super speedy. He's probably going to have like 35, 40 stolen bases this season. We're not going to get these props are not going to be that great moving forward. So, you know, get in on them now while you can. We also had McCarthy yesterday as a stolen base, and he picked it up as well. Follow the FTN bet tracker, follow FTN alerts on Twitter. We're active in the Discord channel. When we see it in the morning, we're going to jump on it early, and it's going to change. But for now, eat it up, because stolen bases are up. I think it was a fun weekend for Major League Baseball. I really do. I thought there was some runs scored. I talked to Dream about maybe the old ball. He's not fully buying in yet, but I feel like we saw some runs. We saw some movement. We saw things that were just like Gallo or even Ohtani comes to mind. There was a single from Ohtani where last year it wouldn't have been a single with the shift. So with some of the new rules, I think, you know, it follow some trends. And for me, there was some trends when it comes to overs. And like I mentioned, a dream, the Orioles, 3.5 team implied to, or not a team implied total, just a team total in all three of their games. And they cruised past it in all three of their games. And yeah, it was against the Red Sox. Sure. The Red Sox don't have a great rotation. The bullpen is a little bit better than last season, but still, like, you have to factor that in as well. Yeah. That, why was it 3.5 against the Boston Red Sox? And this is a team again today against Texas, 3.5 team total. And I think they go over. I think the run offense will be up. Pitching too is quick. I saw JT Realmuto talk about how he's never felt the pressure late in a game calling pitches before, right? You only have so much time to call these pitches, and pitchers are maybe more fatigue, maybe more in mistakes. I think we're going to see runs up across the board. Speaking of waiver wire stuff, in the next block, we're going to talk So Rare, but there are two guys that I wanted to, that I wanted to bring to your attention. George's guy, Adam Duvall, a 58% ownership in Yahoo. Now, of course, in high stakes leagues, this guy was drafted across the board, but you know, Yahoo had him ranked in the 300s and people are kind of sleeping on him. A really hot start to the season, 8-for-14, 2 homers, 8 ribbies. I really like his spot in the lineup. This Red Sox team, they're going to score runs. They're going to play to a lot of overs, played the over in all three games against the O's. They're going to play to a lot of overs this season because of their pitching and because of what they could do offensively. Adam Duvall, if he's hanging around waiver wires, I know he's been a hot pickup. His ownership yesterday was like sub 30%. Now it's at 58%. I think he's a bit of a trap. I would rather Duvall. He had the 3 home run game, but Duvall has got a good spot here in the lineup. He should play every day. He's not going to have a great average, but he's going to have 30 homers. He's done it before multiple times. Love the ballpark that he's in, and he's going to cash in, you know, with that lineup with some ribbies like we saw, right? 8 RBIs, 2 homers. So if he is hanging around waiver wires for sure, and then 2 catchers as well. Mitch Garver, a couple home runs for Mitch Garver. I don't think he's going to play every day. He does have some pop. You know, he's a few years of removed from really having a very, very strong season. I think he was like catcher 2 or 3 in fantasy. And then Logan Ohapi for the Angels as well. He made the starting lineup because of some injuries there, but he had a really nice weekend. He's very impressive behind the plate, super smart, very intelligent, great defensive skills. And the bat was great for him over the weekend as well. Kind of moved up the lineup just slightly. I don't think he's going to get higher to like 7th in the lineup, but he did cash in with a home run, a 3-run shot over the weekend, and he had 6 RBIs. So in some clutch situations, he was good for the Halos. So a couple guys there. And we're going to take a quick break and dive into the week via So Rare. It should be fun. Hang tight. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Chris Meany here with you. Mean Streets Live on our FTN Network YouTube page presented by So Rare. So if you're unfamiliar with So Rare, we have a link inside the description of this video, SoRare.com. And as I mentioned, and you see some of the commercials for those that are hanging out with us live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Great job as always by Quan. It really is taking Dynasty to the next level. If you like collecting cards and you like, you know, fantasy baseball, I really do believe that this website and this game is for you. You can buy, sell, and trade cards with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people playing this game, and you can go into weekly contests and tournament. And if you know it all, obviously, I mean, if your players do well, you're going to get some points, but there's all kinds of things that you can win, like merchandise, jerseys, tickets, all kinds of fun stuff. And it is, it's super exciting. So I drafted a squad, and here it is. If you can see, I went with Shohei Ohtani, Christian Javier, Reed Detmers here tonight. We're going to talk about Detmers a little bit later on. I do have some Halos here, but it really is about games played for me. So that's, it's not just it's a homer thing here. It really is about how many games are these guys going to play. And of course, this contest is from Monday to Thursday, and then there's a weekend contest. But I went with a lot of players that are playing 4 games. So let's roll through what I got here. So Ohtani is going to have a matchup this week against the Mariners. Estevez is the closer for the Halos. He was just super cheap. He was the cheapest closer on the board, and so I went with him. And then I have also Reed Detmers, who's got the matchup today against Seattle. We're going to give him a little bit of love later on in the show, but Reed Detmers is, you know, the velocity is up. A great second half from him last season. The velocity, the fastball, you know, 92, 93, up to like 95, 96. And then the slider as well, 89, up to like 91, 92. 27 punchouts in 20 innings. This is a good spot, too, against Seattle. They struggled against lefties last year. Had a top 10 strikeout percentage against southpaws last season. So I went with him. And then Christian Javier's got a dream matchup against the Tigers. It was a bit of a rocky first start for him. He struggled with some command and did some long first innings, but I think he'll settle down against a Detroit team who I mentioned earlier, just not great at the game of baseball as Springs had his way with the Tigers. And I expect Javier to do the same. I got Rafael Devers in here. Rafael Devers has got the four games this week against the Boston Red Sox. Masataka Yoshida as well. And then I saw from some Boston reporters, he doesn't want to go with the nickname Yoshi, which I think is a mistake, but we'll listen to him. And he wanted to go with Massa as his nickname, and we'll go with Massa. Three games, very small sample size. Two of the three had multi-hit games, he had three RBIs. He stole a bag. And I love his spot in the lineup, hitting cleanup here. And he's got three games against Pittsburgh before going to Detroit on Thursday against the Tigers. So he's going to see some pretty appealing pitching matchups. And he's really cheap. So you have to construct a lineup here with three starting pitchers, a reliever. You got two corners, two middle infielders, and two outfielders. And they're all like a certain amount of diamonds. And 20 is the most. Like Otani's 20 diamonds. Aaron Judge is on the board, 20 diamonds. Devers is 20. So I had to try to find some value. And Masataka is like five diamonds. So he's a steal. And I think if you're putting together a lineup, he's the guy that you want to get in there for a little bit of value, right? I spent up on Judge. Judge picked up where he left off, you know, last season is the AL record for home runs. He already has two, and he homered in his first at bat on opening day. So a hot start for him. He already has six hits through three games. As I mentioned, the two homers, four ribbies, and he has 12 total bases, and he scored in each one of his three games. And then Volpe is a guy that we've talked a lot about here on this show. We have him a 10-1 ticket on him to win AL Rookie of the Year. And, you know, it's not 10-1 anymore. Now, he doesn't have a ton of pop. He can't hit homers. He's got the four games this week, three against the Phillies, and then wrap up Thursday in Baltimore at Camden. The Phillies, again, very small sample size, but Texas leads the bigs in runs. They really hammered Philly pitching to start the season. They were all over the Phillies. They scored a ton of runs. One of these matchups, I believe, will be against Aaron Nola, which I don't love, but Nola got roughed up a little bit there. But Volpe's got a ton of speed. He's got three stolen bases already, one in each one of his first three games. I think this guy is going to lead the bigs in stolen bases. Now, you got to get on base to steal, of course, but a decent start for him. Just the two hits, but he has gotten on base via the walk, and I think he's going to be an exciting ball player here for all the fans, all the Yankees fans, right? Another young prospect that they can like for sure. The other guy here that I was back and forth with, Garrett Cooper, there's a couple other players that I was taking a look at. Now, I don't love Miami, right? They've only got eight runs here in four games, but Cooper's a really good bat. I think he's a sneaky good bat. He had a home run in his first game. He's been on base in all three of his games. He's got five total hits here. He's got a little bit of speed, but I wouldn't, you know, bank on that. Like the spot in the order in the three spot. He's got the four games. This is why I went with him, and I had to go with somebody a little bit cheaper. Got the four games, three against the Twinkies, and then April 6th against the Mets on the Thursday. And the other guy that I haven't touched on, I did touch him on the last block, was Logan Ohapi. I think he's going to play nearly every day. He's got he's a great defensive skills behind the plate. This is a decent prospect that the Halos got in exchange for Brennan Marsh last year at the trade deadline. So we haven't really seen a whole lot of him, but first three games, very impressive, patient at the plate, and had the three run shot in Oakland, and the matchups are okay this week. He's got the three games, but I wanted to spend down, you know, of course I couldn't get all the studs in, but man, so rare.com, it's super fun. I want you guys to take part, and, you know, as I said, some merch, some jerseys, some tickets that you can win. We'll try to find some edges here for you guys. Get our feet wet. Still learning the game myself as well. But so rare.com, link inside the description of this video, and check out the video that Zach has previewing his lineup for week two as well. It's something that we're going to continue to do here on Mean Streets. We'll take a quick break, and we got some MLB props and some picks here next that we're going to dive into. One thing I failed to mention about Soler in the lineups, again, I'm just kind of getting my feet wet with this, and I presented that entire lineup there. Quan, can you show it one more time for the people here? You don't have to, like, you're not starting all of these guys. So you draft a squad and you got to fit under, you know, the budget of every guy's like a certain amount of diamonds. And as I mentioned, you know, like Shohei and Judge are 20, and then, you know, I think five on Massa. So when you put together your lineup for the week, you know, it'll ask you to pick. So I actually don't have Cooper in my starting lineup. My pitchers are Otani, and Otani's my starter. And then Estevez is, you know, you have to have a reliever in there. And then my batters are Devers, Volpe, and Judge. All of them have four games, and then two flex. So Massa is my flex, and then Javier is my flex as well. So I really, you know, like the look of this lineup. You know, drafted some guys to kind of fit in under the budget, and then you roll with, you know, your starter. So I think there is something to be said about maybe picking like a punt guy that you don't feel like you're going to put in your lineup, just so you can have, you know, your starters in there. So again, we'll walk through it. Contest starts pretty soon. You can change and redraft your squad as many times as you want to kind of get in under the budget. And then you can, there's all kinds of tournaments that you can join. And again, you collect the points, and, you know, we're going to have some fun. We're going to win people some merch. There's no question about it. We're going to get it done. All right. MLB, there's a busy slate here today. I get some picks and some props here that I wanted to share with you guys. Tyler Molly is up at the top here. So I'm actually a big fan of Tyler Molly. I got a little bit of a soft spot for him. I produced a podcast in Cincinnati when I was with The Athletic, and, you know, I really was just like in tune with a lot of the Reds players. And last year he was traded away from Cincinnati to Minnesota, and I loved that for him, because the ballpark in Cincinnati is just not great for pitchers. They call it great small American ballpark, and, you know, it's warranted. It's a tiny little park, and it's hard to keep the ball in the park. And the move to Minnesota is great, and tonight a matchup in Miami, which is even better for him. So we only saw 120 innings from him last year. He was dealing with a shoulder injury. His velocity was down to start spring, but the last couple outings was back up to where it used to be, and I was pretty impressed. Even though he had gotten roughed up a couple times, I was just more concerned about the health. How's the shoulder? How's the velocity? And, you know, check some boxes. But last year, between the two teams that he played for in Cincinnati, Minnesota, 126 strikeouts in 120 innings. The numbers are not fantastic, like a 25% strikeout rate and 9.4 K per nine. But I think, you know, he could get back into the 2021 season where he had 210 strikeouts in 180 innings. He had a 10.5 K per nine, and he had 27.7 strikeout percentage. Those are really strong numbers. I like to attack pitchers that strike out more than an inning per guy. So when he's like over 9.5 is good in my books, and double digit swinging strike percentage, also good in my books. So as I mentioned, a good spot here today against Miami. It's a very small sample size, of course, only a handful of games so far, but a 29.7% strikeout rate for the Marlins over the first few days, four games. It's the third highest mark in baseball. And last year they had a top five strikeout percentage at 24% and 24th in team WOBA against right-handed pitching. Just four runs here through the eight runs through the first four games. So I like Tyler Molly. It was our free bet of the day. I have it in the bet tracker at plus 120. Now it's moved to minus 120. I take anything up to minus 135. Use our prop shop to get the best possible odds. Freddie Peralta, I'm a sucker for Peralta as well, as another guy who's coming off an injury. Really wanted to see what he could do in spring, and he was pitching in spring and he looked pretty good. You know, last year only 78 innings from him, but 86 strikeouts. But how about 2021? 195 punchouts in 144 innings. He had a 12.16 K per nine. He had a strikeout percentage that was 33.6%. A swinging strike percentage, again, double digits. Love it. 12.2% last year, 13.1 for his career, and 14.4 in that great 2021 season. I'm a big sucker of Freddie Peralta. I don't think he's going to go too deep in the game, but this is a guy who had a strikeout prop around 6.5. Most times he took the hill up against the Mets here. So I'm taking the over on 4.5. And then Reed Detmers at 5.5 at plus 105. Reed Detmers, again, I'll kind of dive into him just a little bit. But, you know, when he was sent down, he had some moments before he was sent down last season. And then when he came up post All-Star break, he was really good. A strikeout percentage of 26%, a 13.1 swinging strike percentage, a 57.5 contact rate, and a 73% contact rate, which is elite. A 73% contact rate is really elite. I pick on pitchers. If there's a pitcher above 80%, I typically pick on them in terms of team totals, maybe take some guys to get, you know, total bases, maybe some bombs. But anything below 74, 73, you know, you're getting into kind of elite categories. Only a handful of guys that are sub 70%, but that was a really good number for him in the second half of the season. 27 strikeouts and 20 innings in spring. He talked about the offseason workout plan. Of course, I follow the Halos. I'm in tune with them. I follow them closer than I should and that I'd like to. But in the offseason, he had a workout plan where, you know, he was just more, it resulted in him being more explosive and stronger. And we really saw that in spring because his fastball jumped from 93 to 95 to 97 and his slider an uptick as well from 87 to 88 and 91. And very small sample size. Again, the Mariners 24.6 strikeout rate this season. And then last season against southpaws against lefties, it was at 23%, which was inside the top 10 last year in two starts against Seattle, 13 innings, only 10 punchouts, but he only allowed two runs in those outings as well. So hard to really dive into pitcher versus hitter stuff. I don't really love to do all that, you know, throughout the season. Sure. But this is a different pitcher. This is a pitcher with confidence, is a pitcher who's trusting his pitches. And there's an uptick in velocity across the board with these pitches. So taking the over 5.5 strikeouts at plus 105 for Reed Detmers against the Mariners, Freddie Peralta over 4.5 against the Mets, and then Tyler Molly at 4.5 against Miami. Also like Minnesota to win that game against Miami. And I have a couple parlays here for you. Boston and Tampa. These guys are too juiced. I could take the Red Sox at minus 147 on the money line against the Pirates, but I got them into a parlay here with Drew Rasmussen on the bump for the Rays. I just feel like the Red Sox will outscore the Pirates. Don't like either pitcher on the bump for those two teams, but I feel like Boston's offense will do enough. And the Tampa Bay Rays are up against the Nats. No, don't have to give you too much explanation of why I'm picking on the Nationals. And then Cleveland, you know, basically a perfect weekend against Seattle. They took 3 of 4. Love the chucking, love the pitching. The Oakland Athletics scored 3 runs in 3 games against the Halos. They had a come-from-behind victory late in the first game, and they didn't do anything in the next 2 games. And Cleveland makes a lot of contact. I do think that Oakland's pitching staff and bullpen is slightly underrated, even though they got lit up by the Halos in the last 2 games. But Cleveland, they don't strike out. They make a lot of contact. They get guys on base. Even Kwan leads off, and Ramirez and a couple other guys. Jimenez is off to a pretty good start there. So I like Cleveland to win the game against the Oakland Athletics. Kind of like the under in that one. I think it's at 7.5. I think Cleveland will win that game. Maybe like 4-0, 4-1 or something like that. And then the Bluebirds. Don't love Jose Barrios. Don't think he's a fantastic pitcher. I think he's slightly overrated. You know, I just talked about K per nine. This is a guy who has, he strikes out not even a batter per inning over his career. He's right around that number. Last year, he was top 10 in terms of hard hit rate and barrel percentage. He got squared up quite a bit. The Jays chucking was not good against the Cardinals. They gave up some runs, but they also scored some runs as well. And this is a decent spot against the Kansas City Royals. I actually don't mind taking the Bluebirds on the money line. I think you can get them at minus 126, but I got them into a parlay with Cleveland at 2-1. All right, we're going to break. We got some NHL props for you, some picks, only 3 games on the ice, but we're going to turn our attention to the ice here next on Meat Streets. Only 3 games on the ice tonight in the NHL. We're getting closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs. We got Nick Martin is going to join us tomorrow. Old Nicholas from the Action Network. We're going to break down the NHL slate. Of course, we'll have Dangle Badselli coming your way as well. Just 2 more Tuesdays and Thursdays for Dangle Badselli, and then we are into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Actually, I think I lied. I think there may be 1 more episode next week as well. But we pretty much have all of the matchups, you know, intact. There's a couple teams that are still fighting for, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs, a big W last night by the Calgary Flames against the Anaheim Ducks. So we have the Flames and the Jets kind of battling it out there for a wild card spot. Then the Penguins and the Panthers battling it out as well in the Eastern Conference. And some teams that could jump some squads. Of course, we know the Bruins are locked in. It looks definitely, I mean, we've known since October that it was going to be Tampa Bay and Toronto in the first round. Again, a rematch. Those two teams are going to play each other. We just don't know where. Most likely it's going to be in Toronto, despite the loss last night the Leafs had to the Red Wings. So for tonight, 3 games on the ice. I got Roope Hintz, our guy, Roope Hintz. George is saying no chance I'm taking a shot here on Roope Hintz. Roope Hintz, 0 shots in his last game, 0, but it was against the Avs. Before that, he had 3 and a goal. He had 5 before that one as well. Love the matchup here against Nashville. You know, the Predators are still hanging around as well. They're fighting. UC Saros has been fantastic. He really has been absolutely one of the hottest goalies in the NHL over the past couple of weeks. You've seen a lot of rubber, like 39 shots against Seattle. He wasn't great in that game. He gave up 7 goals, but against the Bruins, he stopped 35 of 36. Against the Penguins, he stopped 43 of 45. And then against the Blues the other day, he stopped 21 of 22. So he's only given up 4 goals in his last 3 games, been really, really strong between the pipes. But this Preds team is just, man, it's like an AHL squad. When you look at up and down their lineup, it's not great. They're missing like everyone out of their lineup, like no Yossi, all other guys. Like Johansson hasn't played in forever. Philip Forsberg hasn't played in a long time. Matt Duchene is out of the lineup. Like up and down their lineup, this is just not a good squad. And I'm really just feeling Dallas as a team overall that can come at them in waves. And I think that they are going to pepper the Preds. I mean, the Preds have been among the leaders in shot attempts and shots allowed of 5 and 5 per 60 for a majority of the season. A tough loss for for Dallas in Colorado, but they're still fighting for that top spot in the division. And I like Dallas, as you see, to win this game in 60. And that's the under, by the way. Nashville at Dallas, under 6 at minus 109. I can't see Nashville scoring a lot of goals. I just don't see how they're going to be able to keep up. And I actually just feel like Saros has been so good himself that I don't think that either team will have a lot of success scoring goals. So I have the Stars to win in regulation, to win in 60. That's from DraftKings at minus 120. I have the under 6. And then Rupe Hintz is my one guy here. He's plus 170 for an assist, which I don't think is bad either. But I wanted to go here with the shot prop. And then two guys that I like that are slightly juiced to take as singles. Joel Eriksson Ek is around minus 150, minus 155. He's had at least 4 shots in 4 straight games. He's actually hit the score sheet in 7 of his last 9. He's been playing really good hockey as well. In fact, the Wild have, right? Missing Kaprizov, they've actually taken their game to another level. They got a rematch here against the Golden Knights. They lost to Vegas 4-1 over the weekend. I do like Vegas to win the game on the road. They're plus money, but I'm in on Joel Eriksson Ek at over 2.5. And then Jared McCann. Jared McCann didn't hit in his last game. I was on it. It was kind of a sucker bet for me. I felt like it didn't feel great given that play and not getting it against the Kings, who don't allow a lot at 5 and 5 per 60. But now this matchup against Arizona is much easier for Jared McCann, who's cleared 2.5 shots in 7 of his last 9 games. So into a parlay there at DraftKings at plus 158. Stars in regulation under between Nashville and Dallas. Rupe Hintz over 2.5 shots, like Jason Robertson, to score a goal here as well. No Rupe. Quan says, no Rupe. Rupe Hintz, got to get him in the lineup. I think he's 2.5 over at Prize Picks as well. Free pick tracker over at ftndaily.com for some Prize Picks plays. Use promo code FTN, save yourself a little bit of cash. We also have The Gove, who launched a Prize Picks video this morning, breaking down some of his favorite MLB picks and props. Check that out. Promo code FTN. They'll match your first deposit 100%. Up to $100. I was rapid fire on Friday with the NFL mock draft. I want to revisit it again here next on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. The NFL draft happening this month, just 3 weeks away. And we are talking NFL draft. And I'm super looking. I can't wait, honestly. Here's the mock draft 2.0. No trades again with this mock draft. Maybe I'll get nuts in 3.0 and we'll make some crazy trades. I do feel like I think we're going to see something between the Colts and the Ravens. As you see, I have Carolina taking CJ Stroud. I know a lot of people have Bryce Young as the top prospect. I like CJ Stroud. I think he's the man. I think he's, I think maybe Bryce Young could be a better decision maker. I think CJ Stroud has just got the whole package. I was really impressed with his game against Georgia, you know, a top defense. I thought he was fantastic in that game. And it told me a lot about him overall as a player. And this is not too much into the combine. Of course, Anthony Richardson has moved up. You know, I didn't have him as a top 5 pick when we did mock draft 1.0, but I think the Colts either take him at 4 or the Ravens take him at 4, and there's a trade with Lamar Jackson, and Baltimore gets that fourth pick overall. We'll see what happens there. But I got Stroud at 1 to Carolina. I got Bryce Young at 2 to Houston. I got Will Anderson Jr. there, edge rusher, Arizona. And if you're Arizona, you're going to be awful this year. You know, your win total is 5.5. I don't think that they're going to win 6 games. They're going to be without Kyler here to start the season. Hopkins is going to get traded. They've moved on from a couple of their players on both sides of the football. You know, you got a rookie head coach in Gannon, who I think is going to have his hands full. Head coach, that is, you know, of course, defensive coordinator with the Eagles over the past couple of seasons, but doesn't have the same sort of personnel. If you're Arizona, you're trading back, right? You're trading back with maybe Tennessee's aggressive. Maybe the Raiders are a little bit more aggressive to get up ahead of the Colts. I think we could see Arizona move back a little bit, just like we talked about with version 1.0 when it comes to the Bears. Like, you'd be silly not to trade back if you're Chicago, and that's what happened. They traded back, right? Anthony Richardson isn't accurate enough, in your opinion. I agree with you, Daily Handle. He's not. He's very raw. He's got basically half the amount of games played as the other quarterbacks, but there is a ceiling there. You can coach him up, right? Heard the same thing. Josh Allen, not accurate. Jalen Hurts, not accurate. What happened over the past couple of years? Like, Josh Allen, you know, got a good play caller in Dable in Buffalo. They brought in some, you know, good wide receivers that could run routes, and Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley, and we saw an uptick in accuracy. We saw the same thing with Jalen Hurts, right? Not super accurate in his first year as a starter in the NFL. You know, you really only had a rookie in Devontae Smith throw the football to. What happens? You know, you make the trade for AJ Brown, and boom, you know, you see the ceiling there. So I think under the right, you know, you could coach these guys up. I hear the same thing with Justin Fields. Fields is not good. He can't throw. He's not accurate. Watch Fields this year. You don't think he's going to have an uptick in accuracy in his throwing, and coach him up here in year number three, and, you know, have DJ Moore in there, some weapons surrounding him, build the offensive line. You're going to see some improvements here. You can't close the book on these guys, but I do agree that the accuracy, he's raw. Like, do we care that he's got the high vertical jump, or, you know, is he going to jump over linemen? Is he going to catch his own passes in the red zone, like in the end zone? No, he's not. And it's nice to see him kind of grayed out at a combine like that, but it is all about film for me and decision making and things like that. But I think he can grow as a passer, and I think he can be coached up in the right scenario. And, you know, he's got a high upside. He really does. And this is a dual threat league now. And it's nice to have a quarterback, you know, who can tuck and run. And you can run more than the other guys here on this list, but I got him at four here to the Colts. Jalen Carter falling down to Seattle. You know, Detroit is interesting at six. I'm not really sure what way they'll go. I could see them taking a corner here. I think they're set at quarterback with Goff here over the next couple of years. I wouldn't be shocked if they took like Richardson to play behind Goff, but they have a couple other, you know, positions that I think that they should attack. And so I got them taking Wilson, an edge player, but I wouldn't be shocked if they took a corner. And the same thing with the Raiders. I think that, you know, certainly a quarterback could be on the board, whether it's Will Levis or Richardson. But also, there are a ton of holes, especially defensively, with this Raiders squad. There's no question about it. So I got them taking a corner. I think that Josh McDaniels, he loves Jimmy G. He knows his system. I think they feel like they could win and they can be competitive. He doesn't want to draft a quarterback behind Jimmy G. Maybe later on in the draft, potentially. But I think he's going to roll it with Jimmy G, and I think they're going to attack the cornerback position. I got Van Ness going to the Falcons. And then Chicago taking an offensive lineman. And then this is kind of a fun pick. Now, Howie Roseman, excuse me, doesn't have a history of taking running backs in the first, or really a great track record of taking wide receivers in the first round either. But this is like a luxury pick. The Eagles also pick at 31. This is the Saints pick. Bijan Robinson is going to be a stud in the NFL. You know, it's tough to take a running back this early, honestly. I think he is probably the fourth or fifth best prospect in the NFL draft. They just got rid of Miles Sanders. I know they got Rashad Penny. They got Boston Scott. They're paying $5 million to Scott, Penny, and Kenneth Gainwell. But this has been the best rushing team in football over the last few years. It's arguably the best offensive line. Again, they got back Jason Kelce. Lane Johnson restructured his contract. It's just a luxury pick. It would be fun for fantasy. I don't know if Howie pulls the trigger on it, but it could happen. It certainly could happen. I know Bijan visited the Eagles last week, but wherever he goes, it's going to be a really fun environment. And if he goes to the Bills or he goes to the Cowboys, that would be super intriguing as well. Not great for Pollard or Damian Harris, but good for those two football teams. I got the Titans taking Levis here. There's a number of different ways that they could go. You know, they need a wide receiver. They need offensive line help. They got some holes defensively. I think they could take an O-lineman. I think they could take a wide receiver as well. I got them taking Levis, though. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is my first wide receiver off the board to the Texans. Later on down the list, you see Jordan Addison to Seattle. Miami does not have a pick. Quentin Johnson to the Chargers. I got Zay Flowers to Baltimore. You know, if it was the Ravens on brand, they take a defensive player, but my goodness, get a wide receiver and help out Lamar, whoever the heck the quarterback is going to be with the Ravens. So I got Zay Flowers going there. I got the Vikings taking a corner. I was hesitant. I thought maybe a wide receiver. I don't love Jalen Hyatt all that much, but I think the Giants need some help at wide receiver as well. And then the two tight ends, I got Kincaid to Dallas with Schultz out the door, and I have Mayer to the Saints at pick 30. I was thinking about it with the Bengals as well, but they really need to continue to build the offensive line in Cincinnati because Joe Burrow's been sacked more than anybody over the past couple of seasons. So that's the mock right there, 2.0, maybe 3.0. We'll have some trades, some fun fantasy environments for some of those wide receivers as well. We're going to really ramp up NFL draft talk over the next couple weeks here on Beat Streets. Good luck around the diamond on the ice. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.